is Jerry Pippin, and here we are up another hour. A little different subject tonight than we normally deal with. But as you know, I've been dealing with the subject of death tonight. If you're one of the stations that carries this program at an earlier hour, and I have, as I mentioned last hour, I have had experience with a near-death experience. Not myself. I used to travel the country with a comedy partner. I used to be a part of a comedy team of Pippin and Sessions back in the middle '80s, 4 or 5 years, and my partner Bobby Sessions, who's still alive and well, running a bowling alley in Kingfisher, Oklahoma. Well, hey, it just shows you what happens to comedy, and I'm doing a talk show. But anyway, that's kind of the way it works. Bobby had a near-death experience, and he really was kind of hesitant to talk about it a lot of times. In fact, I thought about it earlier after we decided that we would do an hour about this subject tonight. I thought about it earlier this evening. You know, I was with Bobby in a car or on airplanes probably, I guess, a year out of about 5 years, and we traveled together alone. And we probably never really talked about that subject over 3 or 4 times, and we dealt in deep philosophical subjects most of the time. I mean, seriously, if you hang around comics, after they get off stage, most of them are very boring. And, of course, our problem was we sometimes were very boring on stage, but that's another story. I was at our library today looking up some information, doing my own research, since I have a big budget. I have a big research staff on something else, and I ran across a book which has been on the best-selling list for some time. It's been a New York Times bestseller. I noticed on USA Today, on the best-selling books segment, it's number 12 this week, Embraced by the Light by Betty J. Eady from Gold Leaf Press up in Placerville, California. It's a story of a near-death experience, and we tracked Betty down tonight, and she was very nice to stay up late and be with us. And how are things in Washington, Betty?
Well, it's pretty dry right now. I mean, there's a little bit of sprinkles, but not your usual wetness.
I started to say, that's unusual.
Yeah. Well, we keep telling everybody that.
Yeah, I understand. I used to live in San Francisco. We did basically the same thing about the weather. Hey, 1 o'clock, it'll all burn off. It'll be fine.
That's right.
Now, I've read most of your book. I haven't read it all, but it's a very, very mind-grabbing, I guess, or soul-grabbing, really. And obviously, you're a very religious person. And this experience, which we'll get into, just evidently enforced your religion. Or were you not religious before?
I think that I wanted to be. I mean, I was raised in boarding schools that were religious of nature, Catholic and Protestant as well. And so I certainly, you know, had that in my background. But I was raised with a tremendous amount of fear. So I think I feared God. I didn't love him. Now I love him and I don't fear him. So I have a personal relationship with him
you mentioned this, and back in the back of the book, in your last chapter, you're talking about your recovery, and you're actually writing in this book things like that you had depression, and you actually wanted to die because this near-death experience was so beautiful. Is that right?
Oh, yes. I did not want to be here at all. It was very depressing to come back, and then to come back with the knowledge that I had. And I didn't really know where I could find anyone that shared this same information. It was very difficult for me. And like your friend, it is something that you don't really want to talk about, oddly enough. I didn't. I mean, it took me 19 years before I would write about it. I always knew that I had to share the information, but I didn't want to. One reason was, of course, that I knew that what happened to me was real and that it did happen. It was not a dream. It was not a hallucination. But I felt that by sharing it with people that would disbelieve, that in some way I would destroy something wonderful. And so I kept it to myself except for family members and some of those that I was inspired to share it with.
Now, we will get into maybe some of the instances about it, and we're also going to open up the phones, if it's okay with you, Betty, and maybe our listeners have some stories or comments or questions for us. But I'm going to take a break, and when I come back, I want to talk to you about why Gold Leaf Press, and I imagine it might have been difficult to get this book published. I imagine some of the mainstream publishers probably thought it was a great idea, but they probably read the manuscript and said, well, wait a minute, I don't know. You can either affirm that or tell me that I'm imagining wrong when I come back. Can you hold on, Betty?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be back. And if you have a question for Betty J. Eady, our telephone number, 1-800-745-TALK. That's 1-800-745-8255. The name of the book, Embraced by the Light.
If you're having a hard time getting around because you lack mobility, then get ready to write down a toll-free number that may be the most important call you ever made. If you find yourself staying at home because you can't get around like you used to, then listen how you can enjoy life again as a proud owner of a Rascal scooter. With a Rascal 3- or 4-wheeler, you can visit friends, go to church, shop till you drop. It has a unique take-apart frame that makes it a snap to carry in the trunk of your car. Plus, a Rascal is affordable. You may even qualify for medical insurance reimbursement. So don't stay at home. Live a little on a Rascal electric scooter. Call now for a free color catalog. Ask about a free home demonstration of a Rascal, too. Call 1-800-473-3500. That's 1-800-473-3500. Call now. It will be the best call you ever made. Trust me.